Right, thanks, Kevin. I'm going to get right into it because I got a lot to cover. And this is a continuation, if you will, of my talk last year for those who were here last year. I'm going to continue in looking at these, what we call enhanced efficiency fertilizers. Last year, I focused on nitrogen and, whoops, that'll go backwards. And I focused on Agritane, ESN, and Nutrisphere. And this year, we're going to take that even further. Those are all nitrogen materials. We're going to talk about some new materials that are designed on phosphorus and even K and on complete fertilizers. I put this slide in here because I knew I was going to follow Charlie, and Charlie and I always don't get along. But just kidding. I was hoping we didn't talk about it, and I was hoping our strategies would match up, and I think they did pretty good. He hit a lot of these. Again, we don't have the silver bullets here. A lot of these things are things we've done and we should keep on doing. But really, you know, soil testing, something Charlie didn't mention, but I know David Dunn has a poster on, is comparing university lab and private lab recommendations. And even more so, asking where the research is to back those recommendations up is a good question for both those organizations. Liming continues to be critical. And then I got three of the four R's, Paul, up here. Rate, time, and emplacement. And, of course, you should add source to that. That's really key. You can't get around those four. Charlie mentioned legumes and animal manures. We definitely got to give credit, especially nitrogen. I knew Wayne Reeves would be following me on conservation tillage, so I want to make sure I mentioned that, you know, something that we really, I think, missed the boat on a lot is increasing our soil organic matter. Some of our growers in South Georgia figured this out with strip till, and you know, even if you can build your organic matter from 1% to 2 or 2.5%, you know, you build up some nitrogen there, and you improve your cation exchange capacity that can hold fertilizer nutrients and your pH. And then what I'm going to focus on mainly today is number seven here, is where do these, what we're calling enhanced efficiency fertilizers, fit into to helping us deal with these high fertilizer costs. What do we mean by enhanced efficiency fertilizers? This is actually a term coined by the Fertilizer Institute, and they have two general categories you see here, either slow or controlled release, which can be made in a number of ways. I'm afraid to touch this mouse again. It made my slide go last time. Yeah, it did it again. I'm having troubles with my mouse. Slow release, an example of that would be this ESN, which is a polymer-coated urea, Coron, which is a dimethylene urea from Helena. And then the other, probably where there's a lot of interest, is these stabilizing additives. And really, these are not fertilizers themselves. A lot of these are additives that you add to the fertilizers. Urease inhibitors that Charlie just mentioned, and while we're at it, we've now added nitrification inhibitors to a number of these, and I'll be talking about these here. And if you notice that slide, TFI said it was for an environmental purposes, but what's really driving this, in my opinion, is the economic situation. And we've talked, the first two speakers have talked about price, and this is where you can really get into trouble sometimes and what you're saying. But what I got on this slide is what I think ballpark value for growers in South Georgia were paying on a cents per pound of NP205 and K2O before prices really went up in 2005. I think we're around 28, 22, and 12. In the next column, and I'm going to qualify this, this is where we peaked in about October in Tifton, Georgia. All right? Everybody, I get the same questions everybody else does, is what's fertilizer prices? Well, I can tell you what they are in Tifton, Georgia, where I live, because I call up my dealer and ask him. I think I priced urea and liquid nitrogen, and I base my phosphorus on DAP and my K on muriate of potash. But, you know, what is it in Statesboro? What is it in you know, Blakely? You know, you got to call and do the math. You know, that's all there is to it. But, you know, that's where we were. I get asked, what are they going to be? I got asked in the fall, what are they going to be this spring? One of our county agents said, I think they're going to go to a dollar, dollar, dollar. And I said, well, I don't think I'd put that in writing. and look what's happened now. I got question mark on 2009. You know, we know, Charlie showed you, you know, nitrogen and phosphorus have come down. Potash hasn't come down yet. There's something about a strike in Canada. Maybe in 6 months they'll come down. You know, we just have to wait and see. But that's what's driving, in my opinion, a lot of these interest in these efficiency fertilizers. So in conclusion, all right, you're saying, hey, wait a minute, he's got time left. What's he doing showing that conclusion slide? I wanted to show this because from here on out, we're going to talk about a lot of different products that you probably haven't heard of before, and I'm going to show you a lot of data, which is hard to do in 20 minutes. So I want to make sure I got my points in now, and if I have time, I'll show the slide again. But where I see these enhanced efficiency fertilizers, you know, I don't think they're a silver bullet. They're another tool in the toolbox, if you will. I do think some will play a role, and notice I said some because there's a lot of them out there, and we're still figuring out which ones work, which ones don't, which ones work in which situation, et cetera. It really depends on the product. Like I said, there's a lot of different ones out there. Some sound similar, but they have different modes of action, and you really got to look at each one individually, in my opinion, and you got to base it on research. It depends on the nutrient. Some are designed just for nitrogen, some just for phosphorus. Some, they might even do nitrogen and phosphorus. That's what we're looking at. And really, the take-home message for the data I'm going to show you, I did not get a lot of response in my trials to these products, but I also did not get a lot of response to just the fertilizer without the products. It really depends, and I've heard some people with some of these products say that these products work as long as you would get a response to your added fertilizer, and I really agree with that. And what I'm going to do, concentrate on now, is trying to pick better sites where I can guarantee, which is harder, easier said than done, but make sure I try to get sites that I get a response so that I should see the effect of these products. Definitely need further testing. And the other question I get is, well, can you recommend any of them right now? And right now, I'm saying that based on my data, the only one at this point I can recommend is Agritane because I have enough consistent positive results. That's not saying these others I'm going to talk about today don't work. It's just that we do not have enough data yet to be comfortable to make a recommendation. And this, I guess, is a Glenn Harris recommendation. UGA, I don't know what you call official recommendations anymore. All right, so from here on out, we're going to get into some of these products and how they work. Last year, I did a lot of different nitrogen materials with and without some of these products. And this year, I wanted to focus on just some of the ones I thought, you know, we were going to see the most of. And Agritane, as I already mentioned, is one of those. It's a known urease inhibitor. They also have, they have different formulations or whatever. They have one called Agritane Plus. It also has a known nitrification inhibitor in it. Obviously, the urease inhibits ammonia loss, and nitrification should limit nitrate leaching, which around South Georgia with irrigation on sands is a big issue. Another one I wanted to test compared to that was one called Nutrisphere N. This is by Specialty Fertilizer Products, marketed by Southern States. It's a polymer technology. You see the active ingredient there. It claims urease and nitrification inhibition, and the mode of action is I believe it says it shields the nitrogen from nickel, which is involved urease, and I guess it shields the nitrogen from the microbes to convert it to nitrate for the nitrate leaching part. I'm not sure. And then you want to get out even further where I've got some question marks is there's one called Exilis, which is marketed by a company called TMAC in Florida. They got a parent company in France. Claims urease nitrification inhibition. It's this third jug there on the right. I challenge you to find an active ingredient on that jug. That's all I can find. It says is fertilizer additive. And mode of action, I'm not sure. I suspect it's a polymer type product like Nutrisphere. Last year, I compared some of these in yield. I had a lot of them, so I picked one end rate. I picked low, hoping to see a response, and the yield data was not very clear. But one thing I wanted to remind you and show you again is what was one thing I thought was very clear is their ability of some of these products for urease inhibition. I use what I call a closed chamber technique to look at nitrogen volatilization, where you put either the liquid or the solid products with and without the additives. This is that's an acid trap there with dilute acid. This is just basic high school chemistry, and you're measuring ammonia coming off of the fertilizer and gets trapped back as ammonium NH4 in the acid trap. Left it for 7 days and measured it. So here what you see, starting on the left, is you have untreated granular urea. You have urea treated with Nutrisphere and an Agritain. And the way you read these graphs, it's kind of like golf, the lower number the better. And basically, it was pretty clear based on those first three that the solid Nutrisphere was not effective and the Agritain was. The next three are the liquids. So that's liquid nitrogen by itself, and then the UAN with the Nutrisphere, and then with the Agritain Plus. And again, Agritain very effective. And then background, that last one is just a little bit of background that we get, not much. So that's three locations done the exact same way and showed the urease inhibition. I did not test nitrification inhibition. But let's move on to yield then, and quickly, all my yield data is four row plots by 40 foot long, four replications, side dress treatments applied by hand, and machine harvested. You'll see three locations on my slides that I mainly use: RDC Pivot and Tifton, which is irrigated strip till, experiment station land, Sunbelt Expo and Moultrie, which is kind of a cross between on-farm and experiment station. It's also irrigated conventional till, and then ABAC and Tifton, which is a dryland strip till site. All sandy, pretty sandy soils. Last year I told you I did one rate, didn't see a lot of yield differences, so I changed my strategy this year, and I really do believe this is the way to test these products. Basically, in this trial, this is, I used UAN, 32% liquid nitrogen, with no additives, and then with Agritain Plus, Nutrisphere, and Exilis, and I had three different side dress nitrogen rates, 20, 40, and 60. And over here you can see there's a zero. That's what, without any side dress nitrogen at all. Got a decent response to nitrogen here, not a great. Notice the yield levels are pretty high. And basically, there was no statistical differences. That's why you don't see any letters on these graphs. So we really shouldn't even talk about differences. And they're really kind of a little bit all over the board. Notice that the 20-pound rate, the Exilis looked like it had a little spike in yield. And at the 40-pound rate, the Nutrisphere and Exilis. And really, what you want to do with these graphs eventually is you want to say, okay, is 20 pounds with one of these enhanced additives as good as 40 pounds without it? I mean, that's really what we're trying to get at. And at this point, again, even with my new strategy of doing it this way, I don't think the yield data is real clear, but I didn't get a huge response to nitrogen at this site, and maybe the differences would look different if I did. I also did this at our dry land site, and again, not real clear, no statistical differences there. So we'll keep looking at that. Okay, quickly, what time is it? Five more minutes. Quickly, I wanted to mention this one, and this is really a unique product. It's called ESN by Agrium. It's a true polymer-coated urea, a slow release. I've always said we can do probably a better job with split application of regular fertilizer than trying to use slow release, and it really comes down to that kind of concept. And initially, I looked at doing different combinations of side dressing and pre-plant. But what I realized is if this product's really going to fly, we got to cut out a side dress trip and put all this material down at planting and then go on. And this is a little different and trickier. By the way, did I mention that the y-axis is always pounds of lint per acre? Cotton yield. How you read this slide, what I did is I used 400 pounds of 5-10-15 from my pre-plant N, P, and K. But then the first two bars at each of these rates is just regular urea or ESN blended with it. And then I compared that to the third bar in each of those sets, which got the 400 pounds of 5-10-15 pre-plant, and then it got a side dress of 32% liquid at side dress time. And what you'll see is that the again, there was no statistical differences, but really, for example, at the 40-pound rate, the regular Urita did even better than the ESN. I'm not sure why that is, and we'll keep looking at that. It could be the type of year. And again, this is where you got to look at these in more situations because weather can really influence this kind of data. All right, I'm going to finish with these, and we're going to go through them quickly. But again, like I said, we've branched out now beyond nitrogen. We're going to look at even some of these on P and K fertilizers. And the three I chose to look at, there's one's called Avail, which is a very similar product to the Nutrisphere N. MPPA Duo, which is a similar product to the Exolus. I think both of those are polymer products. And then there's one called Calpha, which is an interesting one to me, and it's unique. And actually, as you'll see in the data, I think it's showing a lot of promise. It stands for carboxylic acid liquid fertilizer additive, I believe. And I like them when they tell me clearly what they are and what they're supposed to do. This one is supposed to mimic the acids exuded by bacteria, fungi, and root exudates to solubilize nutrients in the soil to make them more available for plant uptake. So we're going to look at that one. And then also I tested one called Carbon Boost, which they tell me is not a humate, but it sure looks and smells and feels like a humate. And I've tested humates before and didn't get a lot of response to them. But we're going to look at that again. All right, shotgun approach, lots of data, but we'll summarize it. If you want to look at it later, I'll publish it somewhere. All these graphs, what I've done is I got phosphorus and I have potassium. For the phosphorus, I used either DAP or 10-34-0, and I put out the untreated check in all these is not a zero. It's a, in this case, 50 pounds of DAP just untreated. And then the other ones are simply 50 pounds of DAP with, for example, Avail, Carbon Boost, MPPA, the untreated check, and Calpha. All right? And you see the yield. That one, not a whole lot of response. This one, actually, we got a response to the Calpha pretty well, and Avail was on the other end. You notice also I had the soil test levels, index numbers for UGA, medium, almost all of them are medium or high, and what the recommendation would be. There's 10-34-0 with Avail, Carbon Boost, and Calpha. There is another site with 10-34-0, very little response. And then potassium, and I probably shouldn't call it potassium because I used 5-10-15 for my potassium source. I didn't think it was, didn't seem right to put it on murate, so I put it on a complete fertilizer. But you'll notice, again, not a lot of response here compared to just the untreated. Here also at this site. And you notice we have a number of sites. I want to qualify this, though, because you look at that and you say, well, these products don't work. And I don't think that's fair. I told you that they're probably going to work where you have a response. And if you notice, I didn't show the data because this was hard enough to get through with just this data. But we actually... we have hired a soil test calibration person, UGA and Tifton, and at each of these sites, we actually did a rate trial for P and K, and I did not get a significant response to any of them. So that probably explains the data. So again, I need to do a better job of picking sites that where I'll see a response if I think I want to see effect of these products. Don't have time to go into that. I think we hit our conclusions pretty well. Again, I think they will play a role. We'll keep on looking at them. We got to look at them in different situations and stay tuned. It's kind of like staying tuned with fertilizer prices. We're going to have to keep up with these and see which ones work. What's the future? Maybe even foliar ones. This one, I get a kick out of this one because this one's called CAFE. It's by the people that make this Carbon Boost. You know what the CAFE, they tell me, stands for is kick-ass fertilizer enhancer. So I don't know. I didn't make that up. That's what they tell me. But with that, I'll stop. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them. Thank you. Yeah, cost per acre, that's a good question. And a lot of them I don't know. They never tell me. I can tell you Agritain's the one, again, that's being used pretty well, and it's not that expensive. It's like, I think it's under $5 an acre for it's somewhere between $2 and $5 for at the rate we do side-dress nitrogen on. So it's not a very big cost. You don't have to save many pounds of N at 80 cents per pound to make them pay. Now, when we go back down to 45, it's you know, a little trickier. But so I don't know. I really don't know. Some of them are not being sold commercially a lot, I don't think. Good question. All right, thanks. Thank you.